can't tell if the chemistry's good by looking at it. It wasn't clear yesterday. For the last time, the saltwater pool is a chlorine pool.
This is the Talking Pools Podcast with pool pros from every region in the country. If it happens in a pool, you'll hear about it here. Everything from tips and hacks to the latest tricks and trends. Breaking news, we lay it on the line. We tell it like it is because we think you deserve to know.
G'day folks, Peter here. Welcome back to Mondays Down Under on Talking Pools. G'day Lee, g'day Shane, how are you both?
Hi Peter, hey Shane. I'm really good, thank you.
Hey guys, yeah, pretty good, thank you.
Yep, Shane, you were complaining to me about the heat earlier. 28 degrees, that's Celsius. 28, that's 82 degrees Fahrenheit. I think Lee was telling me it's a different type of heat in Auckland. Or someone else was telling me it's a different kind of heat.
It is.
Well, today we've got 41 here, which is 106 Fahrenheit.
You can keep that.
Yeah. I have one of the worst pools this afternoon that I have to go out for a normal service. It's under a plexiglass roof. There's a little bit of screening, but the screening is above on the top of some approximately 8-foot high walls, so there's very little airflow. Even on a 30-degree day, it feels like it's 45. So I think I might just tell the customer in this heat, in that pool room, I'm just doing chemistry and that's it. Last thing I want to
do is a
heat stroke.
Oh, do they have ventilation?
They've got a bloody big industrial fan, floor-mounted fan at one end that they move around. So basically they I'm amazed this thing pushes so much air. I'm amazed it doesn't push the roof off the place. But it is very effective at blowing hot air around.
So they don't have any side windows or
there's screening
like that.
From about 8-foot high to, I guess, I don't know, 14-foot high. But on a day like this, with us when we get this hot weather, it's not often windy. Can be in the morning, the easterly, which comes off the desert. That brings a lot of hot air in. But now looking out the window, there's a gentle breeze, but it's a gentle breeze, like standing in front of a hairdryer is a gentle breeze. It's uncomfortable. So, then I'm out into the great outdoors, sunshine in this temperature, and I'll actually be looking forward to that. So, that's my afternoon. How's your day been?
Well, Shane's finished. He's relaxed. He's got his shirt off.
I know. Put a shirt on, man.
It's 6:30. 6:30 at night. Finished for the day. Yeah, it's been a good day. Busy, busy.
Beer
not a cancellation, but it is what it is. So just getting ready for tomorrow. Another busy day tomorrow.
Yeah.
So yeah. Just keep riding it while we can.
Yeah.
And you, Lee?
I'm just wading my way through the Certificate 3 in RETA and making it more appropriate to our industry. So contextualizing it, making it relevant, and, it'll be a really good product by the time we're finished, but it is a work in progress and we have only just started. But we have finished the aquatic technical operators course, so that's well underway to being finished, which is terrific, which will be great for holiday parks, caravan parks, resorts, public pools. I actually presented a form of it last week, the aquatic technical maintenance course, 6-hour online Zoom session. And the feedback we got from it was great. So some terrific learning programs coming our way for the industry, so which is really good to see.
Fantastic.
Upping the ante.
Yep, that's the way. Now, Shane, you had a query.
As we are aware, in New Zealand and Australia, the mineral swimming pools are very popular. So I've worked on quite a few of them in the past. When we're talking mineral, this is usually a magnesium or a potassium blend, and add with salt as well. But it's always puzzled me, and I've never had a straight answer from anybody. I was hoping people could enlighten me, but there's always been some issues and some gray areas around magnesium testing and what it can do. And one thing I have noticed in the last 6 months is certain magnesium pools on their plates, their cell plates, that produces the electrolysis, there are huge buildup of, I can only assume, is magnesium. Now, when you acid wash these particular cells, this, I'm assuming, magnesium buildup, it just does not dissolve. It does not fizz like it would do for a calcium buildup. So it's always puzzled me what this could be. I'm sure there's multiple reasons why it's there, and there's probably multiple things that it could actually be. I know, Peter, you were talking about magnesium phosphates earlier.
Calcium phosphate.
Mm. So, yeah, there is a lot of pools out there which I do take care of that are known to have phosphates throughout the year. It could well be that. But magnesium in general is just... It's almost like a bit of a gray area where people just say, add a bag, you're fine for 3 months, then add another bag, you're fine for another 3 months. So just wanted to try getting your guys' opinions on this, because there's obviously they're a very popular product in Australia as well.
And increasingly popular.
Yeah. Right. Is it popular at all in the US? I haven't heard anything from that market about magnesium pools.
No. Andrea, we did a podcast with Andrea six months ago, and it didn't seem that there were many in her area, because she was asking about it, what is a mineral pool that you talk about?
Mm.
Okay, so maybe I should give, for our US listeners, I'll give a little bit of background information.
Yep.
So mineral pools are just like saltwater chlorinators. Well, they are saltwater chlorinators. It's just using magnesium chloride or potassium chloride instead of sodium chloride to generate chlorine gas production. So it was about, I'd hesitate to guess and say about 20 years ago now, that Poolright in its day bought out Magnapool. As it was then, it was owned by Poolright, and I'm trying to think of Ross Palmer was the owner of Poolright back then, and he bought that out, and the Dead Sea Minerals, using Dead Sea Minerals as part of a great bathing experience. It was about turning your backyard pool into a spa-like oasis. And so it took off a little bit, but didn't gather a lot of momentum. And Poolright went belly up. And so therefore the product sort of took a bit of a back bench. And it was then bought out, or Poolright was bought out by another company, and then they sold off parts of the Poolright product line. One of those products they sold off was Magnapool, and they sold it off to what was then, or is still now, Zodiac, or now known under the Fluidra banner. And so they took it and ran with it, and it still is Magnapool to this day. Now, Ross Palmer had some, he called it a hydroxinator instead of a chlorinator. So he had some funny terms like that, and tried to sell it as that it was a completely different unit. But fundamentally, it was a saltwater chlorinator just using magnesium chloride or potassium chloride as the catalyst for chlorine gas production. So that was where it all came from. Now, it's been around for quite a while, and as a pool owner of 8 years, my pool has always been a mineral pool. Originally, I started as straight magnesium chloride, and that's all I had in it was mag chloride with a chlorinator that worked off a very low TDS level. And it was designed to work off. It's a mineral chlorinator made by AIS. It was one of, like, quite a while ago. When I say quite a while ago, 8 years ago. And, so I've always had a mineral pool. I love my mineral pool. I definitely can feel the difference. Everybody will argue something different. But as somebody who has long hair, I can tell you that I can swim in my pool and get out and not have to condition my hair to make it not be a ratty mess. It's actually silky. My skin feels hydrated. You don't have that. And, yes, well-balanced water, your skin should feel good. But salt will have a tendency to dry on your skin and make your skin itchy and tight and that sort of thing. So mineral pools, you don't get that. So that's my take on my own pool. Now, as over the years, it's the we've transgressed to probably transgressed is not the right word, but we have transferred over to mineral swim. So I actually now put the Dead Sea minerals in my pool, coupled with the odd bag of straight magnesium chloride. So, but that's because my chlorinator is designed to work like that. So your chlorinator doesn't necessarily need to be a mineral chlorinator to work with minerals, but the lower the salt level on it or the lower the TDS level that it works with, the less you have to put in, if that makes sense.
Aquastar Pool Products, Blu-ray XL, Pool Magazine, Ray Pack, Lamotte Company. These Talking Pools podcast sponsors are all participating in the Talking Pools podcast trade show poker run on February 24th at the Everything Under the Sun Pool and Spa Expo in Orlando. Rudy and Andrea will be at the Revved Up Apparel booth from 10:30 a.m. to noon for a special meet and greet. That's where the poker run begins. Revved Up Apparel, booth 533. That's where you can pick up your trade show poker run scorecard and instructions at 11 a.m. or stop by anytime between 10:30 a.m. and noon to say hello. Let's do some selfies. Stop at the 5 participating sponsor booths to get dealt your card in the specified order and at the specified times. Cards will be dealt at each location until they've dealt their entire deck, so first come, first serve. Last stop on the poker run is the skimmer booth at 1:30, where you will submit your cards and score sheet. Best hand wins. Announced at 2 p.m. Cash prizes and prizes. It's winner take all in the Talking Pools podcast trade show poker run. In the case of a tie, it will be high card draw to determine a winner. Don't miss the fun. Don't miss the run.
Your chlorinator doesn't necessarily need to be a mineral chlorinator to work with minerals, but the lower the salt level on it or the lower the TDS level that it works with, the less you have to put in, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I'm yet to be convinced about mineral salts in pools. The main claims that I hear about it are, first of all, that the water is clearer. Now, it is known that magnesium has a slight flocculant effect. Okay, I'll say it. If you can't get perfectly clear water with a normal salt, so sodium chloride, then there are a few things that could be the cause. Either at the moment, hot weather, we haven't had rain for months, there's a lot of very fine dust around. If we get a gust of wind, it'll blow dust. Obviously, circulation, filtration takes a while. Let's leave that one to the side. Or lack of clarity in the water can be caused by your chemistry being out, or it can be caused by faulty filtration equipment. You know, the media is starting to, water starting to channel around the media, or there's damage in the MPV or anything along those lines, or any combination of those three. I'm not convinced of any great advantage over of mineral salts over normal salt for water clarity in a properly maintained pool with functioning equipment.
Pool, a normal well-balanced pool, yes, should look crystal clear. But the magnesium pools do have an added sparkle. Now, I don't know, obviously magnesium being a natural flocculant is going to aid and assist that. But the other thing is it also has an increased hardness level. Now, we know hard water looks glassy. So I think it's actually a combination of the two things. How that plays out, I don't know, but I can tell you my pool sparkles every single day. Mind you, it's very well looked after.
One would hope. with the whole another thing we hear about magnesium salt is how it helps joint pain, inflammation. Okay, you've got three other main ways of taking magnesium for that. First of all is capsule or powder form that you consume orally. That can have an effect. Secondly, you've got the topical sprays. So you spray it onto your skin, leave it there. It can have an effect. It's a very, very high dose right on the skin, so that can be absorbed very quickly. Or, of course, things like Epsom salts, which you put in your bathtub. The fact that your bathtub's probably, I don't know, 10 degrees hotter or whatever, 10, 15 degrees hotter than your swimming pool, that's going to have a big effect on relaxing muscles. I just have not experienced that. Personally, I take magnesium powder and a glass of water each night before bed, and in the morning I do actually feel better. I've never got out of a pool and thought, oh, my joints are so, you know, moving so much better.
I don't think it's supposed to be a miracle cure.
Yeah. You need to swim in Lisboa, I think, Peter.
if it was only so easy to just jump in a pool and miraculously feel better, wouldn't that be lovely?
Yeah.
It is with concern that I address a matter of public safety in Western Australia. The picturesque Drakesbrook Weir, located 115 kilometres south of Perth, has recently undergone testing due to the potential presence of a formidable organism known as Neigleria fowleri, often referred to as the brain-eating amoeba. This microscopic entity has been linked to amoebic meningitis, a severe brain infection that tragically results in the destruction of brain tissue. Amoebic meningitis, my friends, is an almost always fatal condition. Drakesbrook Weir, cherished for its grassy picnic area, floating swimming platform, and freshwater beach, serves as a beloved recreational spot for both the locals of Waroona and travelers along the Southwestern Highway. Regrettably, the recent scorching weather has impacted the water quality at Drakesbrook Weir. Preliminary tests have indicated the presence of Neigleria amoeba in the water. The Shire of Waroona is diligently awaiting further results to confirm or rule out the presence of Neigleria fowleri, the culprit behind amoebic meningitis. For the safety of all, signs have been strategically placed, advising against swimming until we can ensure the water's safety. If you have recently submerged your head in the waters of Drakesbrook Weir and are experiencing any discomfort or concerns, I urge you to consult with a medical professional promptly. Furthermore, in the neighboring region, Brunswick Pool, located just half an hour south of Waroona, has also been flagged for caution after the detection of Neigleria fowleri during water quality testing. It is imperative that residents exercise caution and avoid swimming in these areas until authorities can provide assurances regarding water safety. Additionally, the recent heatwave has brought to light another concern, the discovery of Trichodesmium, an algae identified by a yellow-brown surface scum. This has led to a temporary closure of the popular Mullaloo Beach in Perth. While not deemed a critical threat, this algae can cause skin irritation. To those who have enjoyed the waters of Mullaloo Beach recently, it is advised to rinse off under fresh water if you have come into contact with this algae. Let us all remain vigilant and prioritize our safety during these challenging times. If in doubt, seek guidance from our dedicated medical professionals. Together, we can navigate these challenges and ensure the well-being of our communities. Stay safe, Australia. This story first reported by Gary Evans on news.com.au in an article titled Amoeba in the Water, Swimming Spot Tests Deadly Brain-Eating Bug.
No, but I can tell you my pool sparkles every single day. Mind you, it's very well looked after.
One would hope. With the whole another thing we hear about magnesium salts is how it helps joint pain, inflammation. Okay, you've got three other main ways of taking magnesium for that. First of all is capsule or powder form that you consume orally. That can have an effect. Secondly, you've got the topical sprays. So you spray it onto your skin, leave it there. It can have an effect. It's a very, very high dose right on the skin, so that can be absorbed very quickly. Or, of course, things like Epsom salts, which you put in your bathtub. The fact that your bathtub's probably, I don't know, 10 degrees hotter or whatever, 10, 15 degrees hotter than your swimming pool, that's going to have a big effect on relaxing muscles. I just have not experienced that. Personally, I take magnesium powder and a glass of water each night before bed, and in the morning I do actually feel better. I've never got out of a pool and thought, oh, my joints are so, you know, moving so much better. I don't think it's instant.
I don't think it's supposed to be a miracle.
You need to swim at least, I think, Peter.
if it was only so easy to just jump in a pool and miraculously feel better, wouldn't that be lovely?
The feeling on the skin, and I mean, I have long hair. Mine's growing on my face. That's the difference. But again, I haven't really noticed any difference swimming in magnesium pools. On the skin, though, what I have seen is when I've got to a pool, it's been on the corrosive side of balanced or not too badly balanced, but very low calcium. We spoke about low calcium and its trend in fiberglass pools a few weeks ago. I've added calcium to pools, brought that up to within range and balanced the water, and an amazing, extraordinary number of people have said, gee, the water feels so smooth, so soft, so silky. Well, that's because it's balanced. So I'm going to retry the whole mineral salt thing again. But one other thing, some of the mineral salts you find have got borates added, and that does change the feel of the water.
Yeah, not all of them are not all of them are created equal, that's for sure.
I wish they were. I really do. And I wish they'd put on the SDSs what all the consistents are.
It would make our lives so much easier. I think we all on this podcast advocate for knowing what you're putting in your pool and being in control of it. And sadly, with some of these labels, they don't tell you what's in them. And so you really don't know what you're adding. And there is quite a difference, even with one company. And I'll go through that in a minute. But for the benefit of our US listeners and for those that aren't too familiar with mineral pools, so the benefits are the therapeutic benefits, the beneficial claims, I should say, of mineral pools are that the therapeutic benefits, that it helps with skin conditions, helps with your aches and pains. Most of us are magnesium deficient these days, so transdermal absorption, getting it through the skin, is actually the best way to get it. Magnesium chloride is the best for that, magnesium sulfate less so. So different forms of magnesium, and there's 8 different forms of magnesium, but with pools we only deal with the 2, chloride and sulfate. So therapeutic benefits, and as Peter says, the aesthetic benefits of making crystal clear water from that natural flocculating ability of magnesium. And obviously bather comfort, like if the water feels silky and smooth, makes your hair feel good, your skin feel good, that sort of thing, there's that benefit too. So they're the main reasons people look at it. And I think a lot of people do get sold on the whole backyard spa-like oasis. And when I mean spa, I don't mean like bubbles. I mean spa as in a beauty salon type sort of thing. That and of course one company in particular, being Matronix, sell it under the Mineral Swim label, and it's Dead Sea minerals. So they are actually bringing minerals from the Dead Sea to go in your pool. Dead Sea is renowned for the therapeutic benefits of bathing in the Dead Sea. It was Cleopatra's spa backyard, I suppose. It's where she used to go to bathe and do great skin condition replenishment and keep her beauty and youth. But yeah, it's so that's why we do it. Now, as I said, I've had one for years. I have a son that has eczema and has had it for years. Through summer, he would swim in the pool regularly and his eczema would go away. Now, was that from the pool or was it from the sun? We don't know. But I can tell you it came back in winter and it went every summer. So okay. For him, he saw big benefits. Like I say, though, is it sun or is it water or is it a combination of both? We don't know. I'm certainly not making any claims here.
You mentioned the Dead Sea and its therapeutic thing. What concentration of minerals do you run in a Dead Sea mineral pool?
Oh, God. I've been to the Dead Sea and actually been in it, and it's insane. Like, you cannot sink.
It is 53% magnesium chloride, 37% potassium chloride, and 8% sodium chloride.
Oh,
it's like a flotation tank.
Yeah, yeah. I've got some
flotation tank company at my on my route. It's a beautiful facility. They've got flotation tanks and funny story, flotation tanks and UV, infrared
saunas,
all sorts of stuff. And at the end, there's a colonic irrigation room. So
I'll skip one. I was having
a joke with the I call her the colon lady. I was having a joke with her one day, and we decided to play a joke on the lady who runs the place and operates the flotation tanks. And anyway, we're there, and a colon lady just shouted out, "Code Brown," at the top of her voice. And the owner says, what's happening? And she said, "Code Brown in the flotation tank." And she says, what's a Code Brown? I said, "Oh, that means there's poop in the pool, poop in the float tank." And she goes, "Oh, no." She was mortified. She walked into the room, opened the door of this thing, and the two of us had put this inflatable poop emoji in the floating in the flotation tank. We were laughing. We were hysterical. She was just about having a cardiac arrest on the at the corner of the room.
I can imagine.
But yeah, they're putting in 700 kilos per ton of water. So that's 1,000 kilos of water. 700 kilos. So that's basically, 70%?
Yeah, obviously. You're not going to do that in your swimming pool. But.
One would hope not. But I wouldn't put it past some people.
Don't do that, people.
You can't sink. Like, that's the whole point of those flotation tanks, is that you float on the top. The Dead Sea is just like that. I waded out into the Dead Sea, and literally my feet were taken from underneath me. I could not stand up. It was that buoyant. And, yeah, so quite an experience. And, of course, you do not want to put your head under the water because the salinity level had been so high, it burns the eyes. But it does feel lovely on the skin. So, yeah, I suppose that's the principles behind mineral pools. Now, us as pool service technicians, retail stores, we need to know what we're dealing with these so that we can give the best advice to our customers. And as we said, not all of these products are the same. They're all different, which creates a lot of confusion for us, let alone the customers. Like, they come to us for direction and we're confused about it. So I think it is – I don't know that we're going to answer your question today, Shane. yeah.
That's okay.
I've got another question following your question, Shane. Are these self-cleaning chlorinators or are they really old ones that you normally have to clean?
Yes, self-cleaning. One of them, brand new, 6 months old.
Wow.
Okay, shouldn't be a fault with the polarity reversal, which can happen on older units.
So
I'd be looking more at calcium phosphate.
Yeah, and I would too. The reason being is Watermaid, who are one of the original Australian manufacturers, the initial Australian manufacturers of chlorinators. So I think they probably go back about 50 years now. They actually have always advocated for magnesium chloride to go in with a bag every season in their pools to actually assist the cells. And I'm even looking at their website now, and it says, did you know the presence of magnesium chloride in pool water helps to protect the chlorinating cell? It works by making the calcium deposits soft and mushy. Which will simply wash away during the cleaning cycle. So that is coming from one of the longest manufacturers, oldest manufacturer of chlorinators, and that's why they've always put it in. So they actually used to advocate for it even before Magnapool and Ross Palmer bought out Magnapool.
They were adding magnesium before it was cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So they were saying add magnesium into the pool. The pool itself is a salt water pool.
Yes.
So the magnesium is just a buffering effect.
Well, it was just there purely to aid the cell, the build-up on the cell, to keep that soft. Now, there is other products out there that can do that, that other manufacturers make. And so there's certainly things that you can assist to keep that build-up on the cell aerated, or I call it like an aero chocolate bar that like had all the bubbles in it, that sort of thing. Or in this case, they're saying it'll keep it mushy. So that's why I have a tendency to think that the hard calcium, Rudy might correct us here, we might be on the wrong tangent, but I would tend to think that it's actually another cause. And as Peter said, the phosphates might
Does it be. Come off? I mean, you mentioned it doesn't come off when you acid bath the cell. Does it come off when you get a I'm a big fan of using a wooden skewer or wooden or plastic chopstick poking stuff out. Does that?
You can pick it out, yeah.
Okay.
And it's solid. It's pretty solid. Pure white. It looks exactly the same as calcium.
What is the surface of the pool?
Fiberglass.
Okay. Any calcium scale on the actual fiberglass?
No. I mean, the pool's probably been in now for about, I think this is the second season. But yeah, these issues started, 6 months into me taking over the property.
Can I ask, do you have many of that particular chlorinator around?
Tune in next Tuesday for the conclusion of this episode on mineral pools with Peter, Shane, and Lee.
I just wanted to take a minute to say thank you for listening today. I'm hoping you enjoyed the episode as much as we enjoyed putting it together for you. Listen, it's been a couple of wacky, crazy, screwed up years, from pandemic to Poolmageddon. I just want you to know that we are all in this together. If there's anything that we can do for you, send me an email at talkingpools@gmail.com. Again, that's talkingpools@gmail.com. We're here. This is your podcast. We are the Pool People's Podcast, of the pool people, for the pool people, by the pool people's podcast. This one is about you. So thank you for tuning in and listening. Do me a favor, click subscribe before you go. That way you don't miss an episode.